Welcome to Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's Politically Incorrect podcast topic is practical preparedness, brought to you by eternalaffairsmedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is Andrew Schechter, author of Dark Water, Game Over, and two-time delegate for Donald Trump to the Republican National Convention. Please help us with a donation at donate.eamedia.online or by buying some bling at store.eamediaonline. Please help keep the truth online. Welcome to the podcast tonight, a delayed start due to technical issues with the podcast. Say a prayer, an opening prayer as we always do. Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation, my friends, my family, your family, my listeners, for the safety, the happiness and serenity that is all in your great glory. We pray that times improve and things return back to normal. We pray these things in your wonderful, glorious name. Amen. And shout out again to Lisa, Marcy, Stephen, and Greg, Anthony, and Reverend Dave, and of course, Marilyn. And sadly, we had a bad start due to technical difficulties. I hope some of the folks that were wanting to come on the podcast can still make it. And we are back online. It's going to be a great show, so hopefully people show up. And just one moment. Let me just check on the status of a couple of folks who are trying to get in here. So, okay, and someone's trying to get in. They're not hearing the link. Are you, I see Marilyn's in the studio. Are you hearing me, Marilyn? Give a shout out or a hands up or a smile or something. Okay, so we are here. We are being heard. Shouting out to a couple of people. Boy, I apologize. I don't know what happened tonight. This is just a terrible evening for technology. And let's see if anybody else is hearing me on the other end that's not hearing me. Let me verify then the link. Bear with me for one moment. Let's see. Restart. Just another moment. We're going to restart. Yeah, I apologize for the delay. So somehow people are getting back to the old link, the original link that was sent out. Boy, I'm just not sure what's going on here. We're going to start. And all right, we got another person. So little by little, one by one, we're getting people in. I'm going to give you a minute or two. We do have a great sponsor, and I'd love that. I don't even want to call him a sponsor. I'm going to present this to you. We're going to present it a second time in the show. Hopefully that technical aspect works. But I'm going to just read it off the beginning, because this is just the greatest thing. It's another podcast coming up. Just a wonderful person. It's a great story, something that I think is really pretty cool. And that the if you're looking for a podcast about a crime related to actual life events, I love that. This is life events of military personnel, family members, and those associated with the military in general. Something you don't hear about too often. A lot of crime goes on in that regard. So if you're searching for such a thing, life events of military personnel, veterans, family members, those associated with military in general, then you've come to the right place, and we welcome you to the Military True Crime Addict. where we'll be exploring a plethora of actual true crime stories that have not been reported on by news outlets or media. Stories that, upon hearing, you will be astounded by. History should have been told that long ago. There will be detailed stories that touch on topics of assault, harassment, sexual preference, abuse of power, murder, hazing, rape, and all the stories in some way relate to our military veterans and their extended families. There'll also be an abundance of episodes of serial killers with military background that you will not believe. Here, they will provide the voice of the victims and hear their side of the story. We'll raise awareness of the heinous crimes and those impacted. You do not need to know anything about the military to enjoy this podcast. Our listeners can hear the original true crime stories with the specifics of what occurred. You can follow at Facebook, Military True Crime Addict, or go online at militarytruecrimeaddict.com. I think that's going to be just a wonderful podcast coming up. Just a wonderful thing. So tonight, the topic of the podcast is practical preparedness. Now, I'm all flustered because of the technical issues. And again, I apologize for that. Let's see who we're missing here. One, two, three. I make sure I send out all my invites real quick. Send out another invite. I missed one person. What a start. What a start to the podcast. Sorry about that, folks. All right. So the question becomes, what is preparedness? Now, preparedness is a very important topic for the current day. I've talked to a lot of people about what it means to be prepared. Be prepared for what? People will say, wow, you're talking about the preppers. And that's true. That's a subset of preparedness. Or you're talking about the militia that's out there, the side militias. And they're always talking about, quote, preparedness. Then there's the practicality side where people are talking about financial preparedness. But it all fits together. See, in the insurance industry, they have a thing they call actuarials, which is exactly what it sounds like. The actuarials are statistics that are taken over time from incidents to determine the cost of, say, insurance and cost of covering various plans, insurance plans, whether it's a health, life, or casualty insurance. And they average out the statistics of the cost and occurrence of these things. And they determine at that point what it's going to actually cost you for a an insurance policy, basically, based on that. So, I bring that up for a very specific reason. And I'm going to throw another thing at you, a financial side to it. I've always been pretty good at playing the stock market, and people say, "Well, you're going to either lose, or you're going to break even, or whatever." The trick to playing the stock market is to put in enough eggs in one basket, and doing a kind of a mishmash of various stocks and commodities and other things that will average out, so that when times are bad. You know, for instance, silver and gold go up, and when times are good, they go down. But by the same token, banks go up and other things go up in the good times. So it's a matter of averaging out your weighing your risk is what they would call it. Again, it's called the actuarials in the insurance industry. What are you willing to risk? What cost? And the same thing is true with preparedness. I hear people say they're going to do one thing or another. They're going to go out and buy a generator. They're going to go out and buy a solar panels. They're going to go out and buy a gun to protect themselves. They're going to go out and buy stocks and stocks of food. Let's backstep. Now, well, previous weeks we've talked about political situations where I always recommend going in the reverse. Don't think forward, think backwards. Think what the ultimate goal is. So you need to decide what is your level of comfort? What is your level of awareness to the situations you're in, and what are your concerns? You need to balance that with the amount of money it's going to take to achieve those resolutions. Nobody can achieve 100% of anything, whether it's financial independence, or whether it's safety and during rough times, or you know, going down into a bad area of town that you need to go to protect yourself. But you need to determine what level of security is affordable, what level of security is effective, and what you are willing to invest in that level of security. So let's take rough times. Let's say right now we're in the pandemic. A lot of people have lost their homes. A lot of people have lost their livelihoods. And the question again becomes, what prior to that, what should you have done? What should you have taken into consideration? The very first thing that you want to consider is, what is your backup plan? Who do you have to turn to? A lot of the local militias have backup plans by having members of their society, members of their group that own property, that own the equipment necessary to protect themselves. And they will meet there in the event of a catastrophe. So if the crap hits the fan, so to speak, or people come in and start burning the town down, they'll know where to go. They'll know where to hide. They'll be secure and safe. And through numbers in the number of people they have and various talents, they will survive because they will help each other. They will make their destiny, essentially. And we all make our destinies, ultimately. So we're going to look at a couple of aspects of preparedness. The first is, what is your comfort zone? Are you willing to leave town in an emergency? What is duration of an event? Like we went through events with the 2020 elections. We didn't really know what was going to happen. A lot of towns had issues, and the entire process leading up to Black Lives Matter events, the Capitol events. A lot of people were affected by these events. The question is, are you willing to slide through those and hide in the background and stay in your home and protect yourself? And can you stand in the background and protect yourself? More important, what are the odds that an event is going to happen? Now, that's the most important thing. These are getting into the actuarials. What are the odds that an event is going to happen? And what will the impacts of that event have on you? And what will be required to get through those events? So I pack light. Now, we got a full house again. Again, I apologize for technical issues earlier. Had a major problem with the podcast application, but we're working now. But I consider myself to be a minimalist. For those who know who I am and what I do, I've had 40 years in the fire service, fire and rescue. An auxiliary police officer in Berwick, my town, for a few years. Did a lot of rescue squad work. And in fact, I was one of the co-founders of one of the finest rescue squads in the state many years ago. And have a lot of practice in survival skills. I've been in the cities. I've been in the rural areas. Each area has its issues. You know, and you can have a rural house in the middle of nowhere, and that's actually prone to the most dangerous bandits in the country, even more dangerous than in the big city, because the people that are coming after you, after your property, realize the length of time it's going to take a police force to arrive. But the odds of someone attacking you in those rural areas is much, much, much slimmer than it being mugged in the streets of Philadelphia or New York. And when walking the streets of New York City or walking the streets of Philadelphia, I always watch for, you know, awareness is the biggest thing. I always watch for what's in my surroundings. What are the odds that someone coming down the street is not going to be a friendly person? What are the odds that I should avoid that person? Rather than insisting on walking straight down the street, I'll cross the street and then cross back later on after I've passed the danger zone. So awareness is a big thing in preparedness. You need to be ready, and you need to know what to do if you cross the street and there's another criminal on the other side of the street waiting to go after you. So you need to think ahead. And you can, your preparedness is a long-term thing where you do it in advance, you do it on the spot as things change. If you hear of a tornado is coming towards your house, you should have a plan of what to do. Do you have a basement to go in? Do you have a neighbor's house with a basement? Do you have a place you can hide from that storm and protect yourself? Once that storm arrives, now you need to see what damage it's caused. And as that damage is being caused, you need to understand what you're going to do to mitigate the damages and protect your assets and yourself. So you have to understand that having a great stock. Now let's look at the preppers theory. The preppers have this great stock of food. They've got a great stock of ammunition and guns. They have a backup power source. They have generators. They have gasoline to fuel them. They're prepared for short term and typically prepared for the long term. But when a tornado comes through, which is a greater possibility of coming along than a group of bandits coming after you. The tornado is a great possibility, especially in a lot of parts of the country. Lately in Pennsylvania, my home state, we've had a lot of tornadoes, too many to count. And they're very dangerous. They're much more dangerous than a pack of militants coming after you. But guess what? Your solar panel, your generator, all your survival foods that you got in that back shed, and all your spare ammo and guns, when that tornado comes along, that tornado is going to lift them up and throw them wherever it feels like. Now your preparedness has just gone to hell. So that's a poor preparedness plan. So if you're planning on tornadoes, let's plan for the most obvious things. We could plan for tornadoes, hurricanes, rainstorms, snow and ice. We can plan for outages caused by things like pandemics and fear, like we had this last spring. We can plan by having a stockpile of toilet paper and other things that vanish off the shelves, and some foods that aren't going to spoil. We can plan for that sort of an event, but we have to remember that that's not planning for that tornado that comes in. So you've got different preparedness plans. You need to think about make a list of what is important to you and what the odds are of that thing happening. The odds of anyone in this country ending up in a violent action against a group of thugs. Even if you're in a big city, the odds are slim. And the cost of protection is high. You know, I'm a fan of the Second Amendment, but I will tell you a couple things. Number one, more people die at the hands of their own weapon than at the hands of another's weapon. Whether it's a gun or a large knife or a baseball bat. A determined thug will disarm you and destroy you. So the plan should be to avoid those thugs. The plan should always be to be on the offense, not the defense. For every event, you should be on the offense, not the defense. Your plan should involve tackling the situation and knowing how to tackle it. Think about first aid. So someone gets a huge cut on their arm and they're bleeding. You run to help them. You're on the offense trying to help them. You cut yourself. You're on the offense trying to mitigate a situation. But on the defensive side, maybe you should have avoided that chainsaw in the first place if you're not sure how to use it. Maybe that log should have been more stable where it was sitting before that chainsaw came up and cut you in the arm. So we need to look at the situations that are most likely to happen and how they will affect us. You know, we may end up being taken over by the communists. Maybe we already have been. Maybe they're going to come for our guns. Maybe they'll take all our guns. See, you need to be prepared. What happens if they come and they just disarm you, you know, go through your home, take all your weapons, and say, you're done, buddy. You're not going to have any weapons. You need to plan for that. You can't assume that 10,000 rounds of ammo and a high-powered rifle are going to help you. You can't assume that 1,000 pounds of dried food are going to help if that tornado comes in, or that generator is going to help if you can't fuel it. So let's look at this at the optimal scenarios.
again, I call myself a minimalist. I have what's called a go bag. We in the, as ham radio operators and emergency services, we always have what's called a go bag. And it contains a handful of things that we can go out in the middle of the woods and survive for at least 72 hours. We don't need food. We don't need water. We don't need communications. We don't need anything. You should all consider what it would take for you to survive 72 hours. Make a day trip out of it. Go into the woods. Take your family. Take that go pack and live in the woods with nothing but that go pack for 72 hours. Enough water, food supplies, etc. See if you can do it. Because that 72 hours is usually what you need to buy you the time to sort things out when the crap hits the fan. Normally, within 72 hours, a major event is over. Look at the Black Lives Matter riots. Look at the Capitol event. Look at the recent shootings that have been going on all over the country and all over the world. Look at the events in France, Germany. 72 hours. 72 hours, you're back in your home, assuming it's there. So you need to find a place to flee, and you need the ability to run for 72 hours. 9 times out of 10, that will solve your problems in a major catastrophe. After 72 hours, either you return to your home or you find a new place to live or a new facility to stay in, because your property's gone at that point, if that's the case. But 72 hours is the time to buy you that you need to buy to be able to survive that. Now, 72 hours is also the time you need in the case of tornadoes, power outages, water outages. You should try to have enough bottled water and enough power to last 72 hours. That's where a great generator comes in, with enough fuel to run it for that 72-hour period, knowing full well that if you're beyond that 72-hour period and you want to stay home during that 72-hour period, you better find another plan. Now, in my case, I put up a small solar panel. I can charge batteries. Those batteries can run an inverter, which can keep my refrigerator going as long as you plan accordingly. You need to plan things such as your refrigerator draws a lot of power. Furnaces, air conditioning is out of the question. Furnaces even draw power. You need to find an alternate source of state keeping warm. And if you have a refrigerator, you need to find a way to power it just long enough to make it cold, and then don't open it. See, people make the mistake. They go in and out. They love to troll through the refrigerator and see what's in there. But every time you open that door, all the air comes out. Now it takes electricity to fill it back up again, make it cold again. So if you're running on emergency power and all you've got is a small power source, you want to run that refrigerator only when you have the power to do so, and only open that door before you run that generator or solar panel to recharge that refrigerator, make it cold again. 72 hours is the key. I run minimalist 72 hours. My plan is if it's 72 hours, I'll either go back home or I'll go somewhere else. That's where community comes in play. You should have a community plan. Some communities do it in general. Some communities have plans in place, but families can do it. You can gather with family, friends, another group. Someone who has a place that's less likely to be part of whatever incident might be occurring. Or is at a distance where if a tornado or hurricane comes through, that area won't be affected as much. That's your backup plan, because you may not be able to go home. You may not be able to go home because the military, the government has come in and taken your home. So you still need a place to go. And that's where community and group plan comes into play. You know, there are a lot of governmental group plans that are in place, community awareness plans, and they're great. But you can have your own plan, and then you'll be protected from the long arm of the government. So for personal emergencies, for things like the tornadoes and hurricanes and floods and power outages, you know, a small generator, if it runs off of natural gas, you have natural gas, boy, that's a beauty, because natural gas doesn't usually go out, has a lot of backups to it, and it'll run through that emergency. I've never, in all my years of life, I've never run into a situation where I've actually lost gas to property unless they were doing maintenance on the gas lines. And a whole house generator can run your whole house, literally, or it can run parts of it, depending on the size you get. But again, 72 hours is the key to for just about any emergency. The most essential items. You need water. Obviously, you need air to breathe, and that you can't do a whole lot about, other than hope and pray that it's still there, and there's not a situation where you have these forest fires and whatnot where you can't breathe the air. You can't live without air at all, but water is the second most important thing in life. You can't live but a day or so, a day or two without water. And I always look at it, and they have different standards, but I look at it as you can survive on a gallon of water per person per day. So you should have some sort of backup, because water is the most important thing. You can live without food for weeks on end, but I always like to keep a handful of things that are non-perishable or minimally perishable. Those snack bars are great. Canned food is great, as long as you have a way to open it. Dried snacks and food. You don't have to eat well in an emergency. You just have to eat. In fact, the bag of Dorito chips is actually better for you than a can of sardines when you're on a run. Gives you the energy you need, gives you that feeling, that comfort feeling, so to speak, but it also gives you that energy and supplies you the calories you need to move on until that 72-hour period is up. Great if you have kids too. They'll have a real ball out of eating chips for 2 days, 3 days. In my go kit, I have a number of things. One of the things I keep is my ham radio. I'm a ham radio operator. Folks who aren't hams keep one of those little FRS radios. Keep a couple of them. They're cheap. You can get them for 10, 15 bucks. Buy a half dozen of them. Give them to all your family. That way you can walk around if you have to go looking for food or find each other and when you bail out. The ham radio is great, though, because in a ham radio, you can call out for help. You can call anywhere in the world for help if you have the right radio. You can find people. This is an example. During the flooding down in when Hurricane Katrina hit down New Orleans, we had a call out for supplies, and there was an emergency came up. They were looking for someone to transport. They came to me and they said, I need someone to transport a bunch of supplies from Philadelphia down to New Orleans. We have, X many trucks full of stuff. I made a few phone calls. No luck. Everybody was tied up. Couldn't reach them. I got on a radio, and I have connection with the federal government. Picked up the radio, shouted out, and said we need to get some supplies down to New Orleans. Back and forth it went. Got a call back on the radio, and it was great because the radio has digital, and it came up as a message on the screen. There was no internet; everything was down for New Orleans. But a message came from New Orleans over the screen via radio. For the military, said we're going to send out two Black Hawk helicopters to pick those supplies up and move them down to New Orleans. all within a 24-hour period. We got those supplies down there, all by radio. So you can reach out to anyone, and you can reach outside your area, which is really cool. License isn't hard to get. I highly recommend it. Communications is the most important thing. And in the party preparedness plan, you should plan where you're going to meet. Just like you do with the fire plans. Everybody had, remember the old fire plans that they used to push? You started with a stop, drop, and roll, and they said you have to have a meeting place. Well, even when we were in school, they said you were all going to meet out on the front lawn. Even at work, when I'm in the office, they're saying this is the meeting spot. Do you have a meeting spot with your family? Do you have a meeting spot with your friends? You plan a meeting spot. Plan a spot where if you can't come home, if you're home, where do you meet? If you can't come home, where do you meet? Again, there's power in numbers. You need to have your family, your friends, and your support team with you, because more than one head put together results in success. One person can spin in circles all day, missing the key point, and that clarity will come from another person. Education. Part of preparedness is education. You know, Skywarn is one of the things I've been in for many, many years. And skywarn.org, I believe. You can do a search for Skywarn. Skywarn is a class that teaches you about the weather. It also gives you a spotter ID, which allows you to report the weather. So now you've learned the hazards of weather. You've learned how to report it, and you have a place to report it to, and it's free. Highly recommended. But it gives you another support group, because the people in those groups are all involved in preparedness from the weather, which is, again, one of your key dangers in life. Try to avoid the dangers. That's the thing. Try to avoid things if you can. And that's where your preparedness comes in. What's the most important things? What's the things most likely to happen to you? And it's different for everyone. Depends on your occupation, where you live, population density in your area. City, rural. 72-hour kit. In a 72-hour kit, I have my radios. I have my ham radio. Batteries. Small solar panel for charging. Water. Some snacks. Hunk of rope. Hunk of rope is one of the most important things you could have. If you have about 50 feet of rope, a quarter inch, like a nylon rope. It's amazing what you can do with it, with 50 feet of rope. You can save a life. You can bail out of an emergency situation. You can tie someone up. You can hoist equipment from one place to another. I'll tell you an interesting story about a hunk of rope. I always carried 50 feet of rope around me when I was in the fire service. I used to wear it around my waist. Every time I went out, I put it around my coat, my bunker coat. Firemen laughed at me. They're like, what are you carrying that piece of crap around for? That's stupid. That was until the day there was a fire at the White Marsh Apartments near Philadelphia. I was on a roof, and another fire company came in. We had just cut a hole for ventilation. Another fire company came in and started spraying water downstairs in this apartment complex. Well, those flames from that water, from the force of that water, just shot through the roof, set the entire roof on fire. Everybody climbed down the ladder, except me. You know, Big John. I didn't help anybody else off. I just got stranded because I was surrounded by fire. Cameraman from Channel 6 in Philadelphia looked up, dropped his coffee, spit out coffee out of his mouth, threw his cup on the ground, picked his camera up, and was shown taking these pictures of me getting ready to be burned alive on the roof. I looked at him and I gave him the finger. Got on the TV too. It was pretty funny. And I looked down. I looked around. I grabbed my 50 feet of rope and undid my rope, made a loop out of it so that it was like doubled over, put it on the gutter, climbed down to the next landing, retrieved the rope, did it a second time, climbed to the ground. It was all on TV. It was beautiful. If I hadn't had that 50 feet of rope wrapped around my waist, I wouldn't be talking to you today. And guess what? All the other firemen started doing the same thing after that. And now it's a standard. Now it's standard to carry a pack of rope with you. I didn't make that standard, but it got around somehow. People figured out you need that hunk of rope with you. Goes right on the belts. It's in a pack, in a throw pack that goes right on the fireman's belts. So I carry that 50 feet of rope wherever I go. A knife. A knife can open a can. A knife can do a lot of things. You have a good knife or a utility knife with different things on it, like your Swiss Army knives, but in higher quality. Very important. Means of making fire. Reliable means. Some first aid supplies. You always want to have a bandage that you can put on, a heavy duty gauze pad and gauze tape and one of those wrap bandages. You can wrap anything with a piece of gauze. You can wrap a minor cut or a major cut. And knowledge is power. You know, first aid classes are very cheap and provided by the community. Usually it's $30 or so. Red Cross puts them on. American Heart Association puts them on. There's your preparedness. You need to be prepared for medical emergencies. Very important. You got to stop blood loss in an emergency. If, you know, get a piece of wood from a tornado, cuts through you, and you got to seal that up or pull that out because there's no way to get to a hospital. Very important to have those minor supplies. I'm not going to give a list of all the different supplies. They're available online. That's my 72-hour pack. I can communicate, I can protect myself, and I can save myself. And I always carry firearm. A small firearm. Everybody wants to carry the big rifle. But you can't run with a rifle. You can't escape with a rifle. Topic of guns coming up. We're going to run a little bit long here because I had a 10-minute delay in starting. So if you guys hang in with me, it'll be worthwhile. We'll run a little bit late to complete the topic. I'm forgetting something again because I was asked to run that ad. I don't know if I can run this out. Here's another technology, another interesting technology calamity. We're going to give it a shot and see if we can make this work. Man, if I can find this thing now. Where is this? Now it's not working. It's calamity is working again. So you know what? I'm gonna go over this one more time because I was asked to run this again. It was a podcast that's not mine, but it's another one. And unfortunately, the technology has totally stymied me. So I'm just gonna go and read this again because it's worth it. It's a great podcast, and then we'll get back to our topic. But it's a topic on a podcast about crime relating to the actual life events of military personnel, veterans, family members, and those associated with the military in any way. You found this podcast, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Military True Crime Attic, where we will be exploring a plethora of actual true crime stories that have not been reported by news outlets or media. Stories that upon hearing you will be astounded by. History should have been told and reported on long ago. There'll be detailed stories that touch on topics such as assault, harassment, sexual preference, abuse of power, murder, hazing, rape, and all stories in some way relate to military veterans and their extended families. Also an abundance of episodes of serial killers with military background that you will not believe. We'll provide a voice for the victims and hear their side of the story. We'll raise concerns, the heinous crimes, and those most impacted. You do not need to know anything about the military to enjoy this podcast. Our listeners can hear original true crime stories with the specifics of what occurred. You can follow this at Facebook Military True Crime Attic or online at militarytruecrimeattic.com. I was asked to run that. I really think it's going to be a great podcast. I'm going to be listening to that myself. So if you want to look that up and check that out, I think it'll be worthwhile if you're interested in that sort of thing. And again, my apologies to our sponsors. The technical aspects have let us down tonight. The technical gurus didn't want us to even run the podcast. So I'm just glad we're here. So we're going to go on a quick topic of guns. Guns is a very big topic for preparedness. You need to be able to protect yourself. Like I said, 9 times out of 10, you're going to want to evade rather than fight. But when you have to fight, you want to be the one that's the aggressor and you want to know your adversary. And you need to fight only when you absolutely have to fight. But it's better to have a low horsepower engine than a high horsepower engine when you're in a close range battle. You're not going to be out there shooting people at 20 yards or 30 yards. It's going to be hand to hand combat at this point. a small weapon is highly recommended. You know, I look at calibers. People laugh at me. I like the 38 ACP and a small 9mm. And I will point out my preference in certain situations to revolvers. Revolvers are neat. I call revolvers the Berwick gun. Because in Berwick, we have, there's a lot of crime in Berwick. It's been cleaned up, and I shouldn't say that. I was on the council for the longest time. We did a lot to clean the act up. But there is some crime around. And if you get attacked in town, you don't want to leave any evidence of your weapon and who you are. So revolver, the cool thing about a revolver is that when you load it up and you fire it, and you have to use that gun, the cartridges stay in the gun. You don't have to go trying to find them like you do with a semi-automatic. Now, in a survival situation, different story. Semi-automatic's fine. You can pull the trigger faster. A little more caution required because a loaded revolver, you have to actually pull the trigger back to make it go. And a semi-automatic is a whole different story because a semi-automatic, you need to, you know, it's in there. You pull the trigger once, and the next shell's already in there, loaded and ready to go. You pull the trigger again, it's going off whether you want it to or not. But 9mm, 38, and a smaller, you know, hand-sized gun. I like the hand-sized guns because they you have the option of surprise because nobody's expecting that to come out of your pocket or from behind your back. Nobody's looking for it. You can conceal it in your hand. And they're inexpensive. You can get a really high-quality one for, you know, under $500 or a cheap one for about $250. But a small handgun and plenty of ammunition, but also several clips for it as well, because you need a preloaded clip if you're going to be attacked by a number of people. Again, if you're attacked, you need to jump in and jump out. You don't want to stay in a battle. The longer you stay in a battle, the more your chances are of dying in that battle. The trick is let them know you're armed. Let them know you're not going to take it. And get the heck out of Dodge. So, and if you have to run and you have to be on the move, who wants to carry a huge rifle or a large firearm? You know, that should be, the firearm should be your last form of defense. You know, the first form of defense is evade. That's your preparedness. Know your enemy, whether it's a criminal coming after you or whether it's a tornado or hurricane. Know the force of it. You need to understand. You need to learn, get an education, go and look some things up online about hurricanes and tornadoes, and see that, you know, we had an incident up here where the military, the National Guard, had come in during the flooding of 2011, and they they went up and went into what was a street, became a river right up on them, and they just went floating down the river. And there's all these militaries, they're you know, high powered firearms, all their preparedness, and guess what? They're floating down the river crying for help, whining like a baby, because they thought that their Humvee could get through a flooded road. So it wasn't funny, but it was funny by the same token. They survived. But it just goes to show you that even the best of the best can get themselves in trouble. Evade. Avoid those streets. Avoid the floods. Know the power of water. The power of water is something that will kill you. The power of wind is something that can kill you. And I had an article written up a number of years back when my middle daughter, we were out on in a lake in a kayak. Beautiful, bright, sunny day. And over the top of the mountains, we were in the middle of this. It's a small lake. I mean, you literally, if there were a bridge over it, you could walk from one side to the other in about 5 minutes. But a thunderstorm came over the hill. We didn't see it out of nowhere and started throwing thunderbolts at us and downpouring rain. The wind was 50, 60 miles an hour. Folks, you don't know an enemy until you meet one like that. I came back to the Lord after that one for sure, because I prayed. We did a lot of praying. We couldn't see. The rain was so hard, we couldn't see end to end. All we heard was the people on the other side, the park rangers, screaming out on the megaphone, "Get out of the water, get out of the water." And a little boat spinning in circles. as lightning was striking the striking the lake all around us. You want to know fear? That's fear. And that's greater fear than a bunch of militants coming after you. That was literal. That was death at death's door. Then the funny thing is, I was praying and praying. I closed my eyes. I kept paddling this boat, and it wasn't going anywhere. Out of nowhere, somehow we must have got blown to shore. All I heard was someone calling out, "Hand me the oar. Hand me the oar," as I was praying. And it was my buddy on the other side of the lake. Somehow the good Lord had seen fit to drag us over into his kind hands to pull us onto shore. You don't know the power of the wind until you see it in action. You know, you can laugh at these strong winds that come down on these television shows that show roofs coming off of buildings and whole buildings flying down the street. Another great incident I can tell you about is when I was sitting in a car up in upstate New York, one of my business trips, and a tornado came overhead. Didn't touch the ground, but I was in my car. Dumbest thing you can do. There was a good solid building right in front of me, and I stayed in my car because I didn't want to get wet. Well, that tornado literally picked the car off the ground, spun it 180 degrees, and pointed it the other direction. These are the things we need to be prepared for. I should have run in that building. I shouldn't have sat in that car. I learned that from experience. You need to make a list of what is critical to you. What are the most likely things to happen to you? I would not worry about an asteroid hitting. You can't stop it, and the odds are slim that it's going to do anything. Yeah, I wouldn't worry about a lightning bolt crashing down on you as long as you stay out of the fields and stay away from metal objects. Worry about the things that are most likely to affect you and be prepared for them. Be prepared for that 72 hours where you have nothing. You're alone in the woods for 72 hours. That's the message I'm going to leave you with tonight in preparedness. We're going to go a little more in topic, most likely. I'm planning this for a later date, maybe towards the late spring, because I think it's very important. We're going to look at how to be prepared when you go to events that could be dangerous. When you go to a concert, when you go to another state, another country, you know, you have to learn ahead of those events what might happen. Learn the history of it. Learn the actuarials for the situation that you're putting yourself in. What are the odds of things happening? And it's one of the reasons I moved up in this area, was that the odds of certain storms and tornadoes and flooding were limited. And the place I moved in particular is between five mountains. Doesn't get as much snow. But I planned that. That was preparedness. We spent over a year figuring out where we were going to move to. We haven't had any problems up here. It's flooded. Literally, it has flooded so many times up here. It's been declared a disaster area many times. But I'm on the hill. I'm between the mountains. There's a river right near me, but it's downhill of me. And I've never been flooded. Not once. Because I prepared for that. You know, don't move somewhere. Don't go somewhere. Don't do something just because it's convenient or fun. Don't move to the big city because, wow, it's fun, when you know there's going to be dangers in the big city. Unless you're prepared for that. If that's what you want, then go for it. But know the hazards, know the dangers, and protect yourself. Protect yourself and your family first, and have a plan to meet up. That's the biggest thing. Have a meetup plan and have a means of communications no matter what happens or what occurs. Again, I recommend highly ham radio, or at least a family radio, something that doesn't rely on the infrastructure provided by the federal government and local communities and big business. Food for thought, folks. I hope you enjoyed that. And thank you, Joanne. Yeah, keep thinking. There's a lot to think about. And there's a lot on this topic. We could go on for days about it. And we'll have more details in a future podcast. anyone's ever always, you're always welcome to contact me for any information you might be interested in. Look me up, just type my name in Google. You'll find me. And if you have any questions or any thoughts for future podcasts, please let me know as well. God bless everyone. And I do apologize for the technical errors. I do not know what happened to this system this evening, but thank heavens that God bless you, dear Lord, for allowing this podcast to go on and for allowing me to be here tonight, for my great friends and for the wonderful people that listen to this every night or every Thursday night. You have a great time. And let's try out that new podcast that's coming up too. I think that'd be interesting if you're interested in that sort of thing. I think it's going to be phenomenal. I'm really honored to be one of the first ones to promote that, because it's just an interesting thing that you don't see very often. So good night. God bless every one of you. And thank you for coming by tonight. Podcast is nothing without its listeners. You have a great evening. Take care. Night, everyone. Have a great week.